Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
There we were. But now here we are, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Tommy and Pep go head-to-head, and there's also a North London derby. It's Friday, 24th of September. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Lars Ewerson.
Well, 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 Luke Moore, we're joined by everyone's favourite scandalous Scandi. It's Lars Sivertsen, the man with the Irish twang.
The scandalous? Where are we going with this?
Larsies on the pod.
Genuinely
Larsies
on
the pod.
Oh, my God.
Larsies on the pod.
Just a lot of...
on the pod.
So much that hasn't come out yet.
You're not on The Guardian now, big boy. doing things Jesus properly Christ. Now.
Yeah. Take those trousers off. What? Lars,
this has gone weird really fast.
Well, Lars, you have to remember the last time a Scandinavian gentleman's voice was heard on the pod, it was
true.
That of Sven-Göran Eriksson.
Yeah,
a man I have a lot in common with,
an
I think,
awful lot.
In terms of outlook on life, general lifestyle, vibes, you know, all of it.
Camera angles. And you're going to do Luke's game later for the first time.
I'm so excited. I mean, that is the thing I'm looking forward to. It's such a good concept. When I'm at parties now... I'm really tempted to just come. You just turn the music down a bit. I have a game I think we should all play.
Yeah.
And then they tell me to fuck off, basically. If
you don't name check me in that process, I'll be getting the lawyers after you. I'm
okay,
very,
fair
very
enough,
litigious.
Fair enough. I'm not sure that makes it more likely to work in a party setting.
It's true.
My goodness, ladies and gentlemen.
Next time, just give me a call. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I'm always up for a party.
Yeah,
I walked into a house party, Lars, and you were there, I'd be absolutely delighted.
Mm.
You've all got delighted.
When are you planning on doing Luke's game?
Yeah. What have I got? 40 minutes? I'll be at the pub on the corner. Good stuff.
My goodness. Gentlemen, the Premier League is happening this weekend. We've been given the green light.
So it can't be stopped.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
Football stops for no man.
Unless there's a World Cup in Qatar, of course, then we do need
then
to take a
stop.
Break. Yeah. But that's next year, not this year. And Chelsea versus Manchester City is happening on Saturday early afternoon. What a way to get Saturday afternoon underway, Luke Moore. Chelsea, they're 3 points ahead of Manchester City. And Tuchel seems to have he seems to have the better of Guardiola these days, doesn't he? Because, of course, in Germany, Guardiola was showing him who's boss. But now Tuchel, he's a little bit longer in the tooth. He's got more resources. He's got better players.
Yeah.
He's worn more tracksuits.
So they would have played... I don't know, maybe similar amount of tracksuits, I would have thought.
Okay.
Just different ones.
True.
They would have crossed over a bit at Dortmund and Bayern Munich, I suppose, mm-hmm. and then before that, Tuchel was what, a Mainz,
yeah.
Yeah, so it's not necessarily the same as you've alluded to.
But at Dortmund, I do believe Dortmund got like the highest points total anyone had ever gotten without winning the Bundesliga.
Right. Under Tuchel?
Yeah.
Okay.
So he basically would have won the league if it wasn't for that dastardly Pep Guardiola and his sort of Death Star of Doom at Bayern, who was just completely unstoppable.
I felt like after what they did at the end of last season, Chelsea obviously winning the Champions League, that this season there would be an absolute force to be reckoned with. Mm-hmm. I don't think I thought, though, they would be quite this good so far, because Andy's conceit is always that, yeah, but it's good with Tuchel for a bit, and then it goes mad because he just alienates everyone. But their record so far is incredibly good. It's very, very, very good.
He's not been there that long. Yeah,
this is the thing. I think that process might still happen. Maybe he's learned how to be nicer to people. But we're still very much in sort of early stage before that. And I think the thing that's kind of slightly terrifying about Chelsea is that I feel like they haven't quite clicked going forward yet either.
I know what you mean.
And you know, they haven't actually been that free flowing, but they've found ways of winning without mm-hmm. playing to their potential. And I think you saw against Tottenham that there are moments with Lukaku who is brilliant, but he's not quite sure if I should go for the shot. Should I lay it off to Havertz? What should I do? And this sort of vibes will get there. What I'm intrigued with this game is how many holding midfielders Pep will go with, because in the three games they've played since Tuchel came to this country, Tuchel's won all three: one in the league, one in the cup, and one in the Champions League. So in the first one, the cup semi-final, Guardiola went with two holding midfielders. Mm-hmm. That didn't work.
Nope.
Lost. In the league, went with one holding midfielder. Didn't work. Lost. In the Champions League, fine. Went with no holding midfielders. Mm. Definitely didn't work.
I think you'll
so maybe he's just
six.
Go with three now, maybe.
I think six.
Six, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he has to up it, because you're right. He's gone, okay, we'll take one away. Take one away. Well, bloody hell.
I don't know.
He's also having a bit of a meltdown at the moment, Pep. He's moaning about everything. I wouldn't be surprised tomorrow morning you see the team sheet before kickoff. Holding midfielder, Ederson.
Get him in there. I'll predict now. Phil Foden will be holding midfielder. It wouldn't shock me.
I think it's a real ask.
What about John Stones?
Yeah, I'll be happy with any of them.
Yeah.
Isn't John Stones injured, though?
Would that stop him?
Maybe not.
No.
Yeah.
But the amount of moaning that Pep is doing right now is strange, though, isn't it? I mean, the strange vibes at Man City. You know, there was an open secret over the summer that quite a few of the players would quite like to leave, which is like, why? Like, you've just won the league yet again. You're being incredibly well paid. Like, why does people want to jump this ship? Yeah. Why is Pep so unhappy? What is actually going on? And the recent one is he's brought it back to the five substitutions. Yeah. I think the quotes are great. Like, maybe one day the big bosses, the big clever guys, will explain to me why. You know what? it's a really simple explanation. It's been voted down three times.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, several times the bigger clubs have gone, we want more subs. And say what you want about the Premier League, they do get to vote. Lars, it's a democracy.
You're forgetting, though, I think the owners of Manchester City have put him off the idea of democracy.
But he was very vocal about democracy when it comes to, like, the Catalan independence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Pretty big on that, when it comes to subs in the Premier League,
I think similar issues. I'm sure you.
Yeah,
can
yeah.
Well, I also think it goes hugely under the radar. It just how eccentric he really is, because success, particularly in the Premier League, because people involved in the Premier League just think it's the centre of the universe, and I understand why. But success will easily obscure eccentricity. Mm-hmm. Like, he is. I mean, Pep Guardiola is insane.
He's as mad as a box of frogs.
Yeah, he is. And he comes out with this stuff. I'll say about Pete Donaldson, right? Pete either thinks about... So Pete, and I've said this to him 100
times.
It's
a comparison that hasn't been made before.
Well, bear with me. Pete will think about something not at all or way too much. Yeah. Pete's never thought about anything the correct amount, right? So it'll just be, he hasn't thought about it for 1 second or he's thought about it for 3 weeks.
Don't ever ask him about the moon landing.
Yeah. That'll be beautiful. But with Pep, it's the same. But Pep just thinks about everything all the time.
Yeah.
And so he will probably just sit there stewing about it. And even though it's not being asked about, he'll just say it. And that's kind of his character.
Yeah, but this goes, when it was recently mentioned on the pod about when he was watching, was it sort of teenagers playing in New York or something like that?
And someone asked him to referee.
He can't just go, I'll let that go. It's you either want me or you don't.
It's like one of those motivational memes.
Yes.
If you don't accept me at my worst, you don't deserve me at my best.
But so the way that story went was he was asked to do a referee, a vaguely Hispanic man, as he sort of was described, was asked to do a bit of refereeing, and then he started telling the kids where where to stand on the
field.
Totally.
He gets stopped in the game. Uh-huh.
Which is like, I feel like that story is pitched at, like, oh my God, he's so great. You know, he's this football. It's a genuinely unhinged thing to do.
That's what I mean.
Like,
yeah.
Exactly my point.
Just why can't he would be normal?
But I think he would do that in a Premier League game if he could.
Probably.
I think he would say, no, what's important here is the vision, the movement, the philosophy. Yeah. Ultimately, this is just a game. So he could do this against Chelsea. I know you don't want me stopping the game in the middle of the first half to kind of change my formation slightly and move my defenders to a slightly different place. But ultimately, this is just a one-off game. Yes. The philosophy and the project of football generally is far more important. Johan Cruyff would want me to stop this game because none of us are happy with this.
Can you imagine? So Julian Nagelsmann, the sort of young man, barely out of his teenage years in charge of Bayern Munich, has said that what he wants...
Why did you bottle saying puberty then?
I'm not going to get into it. He has said that what he wants is for football to go the way of NFL and having like radios. He wants he wants to be able to communicate with players on the pitch. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine if they had that at Man City and Pep if the fullback was not exactly where he wanted? Oh, yeah. Guys, you got to go to the left.
They'd be in your ear the whole time.
To the right.
Screaming as well. Turn it down.
Yeah. People would just end up, you just see them taking out the earpiece and chucking it on the side.
Nathan Redmond turns out, I don't want it. I don't want the earpiece.
Not having it.
Not even my coat.
How come I'm picking him up in my frequency? Yeah. How is that?
Burnley players going on strike. Like, we cannot deal with this. There's too much dice.
Nathan Redmond just trying to drop him asleep with on this pillow. Nathan, are you up? Nathan, what channel are you on? Leave me alone, Pep.
Do you remember the old USB radios? Do you remember the old USB radios?
Yeah, be like that.
God, it'd be like that.
Nathan, do you want a bedtime story? Don't worry, it's about Johan Cruyff. Nathan, have you got a black early tomorrow?
God, again.
The thing is, though,
it's getting weird, Pep.
Yeah. But Guardiola, we haven't seen him at a club this long before.
No, I know.
So it's not surprising that he's going. Yeah. And also, as well, think about musical geniuses or some of the best actors and so on. They have moments, don't they? Or they certainly have personality traits and so on. Guardiola's just the footballing equivalent. No, we don't like to sort of think in sort of.
I don't mean it as a criticism. I think people might see it as me being negative. But it's part of his character, of course. Going back to the game itself, one of the things that's also he's ushered in, which is the bane of people who do our jobs life, is that you never know what team he's going to pick.
Oh, yeah.
It's really hard to say.
Well, it's your fantasy team. You don't pick too many Man City players at all.
You can't.
You know, I mean, maybe Diaz or something. But, yeah.
But that sort of goes back to the sort of slight rumours that, open secrets that a few players would quite like to move on at this point. If we go back to the sort of All or Nothing Man City documentary, which was not great, we didn't learn a lot from it, I felt, but one of the things we did learn was that Pep is an unbelievably intense man.
Yes. Like
the
things he loves a swear word in English.
Yeah,
as well.
and also the sort of the tidbits we see on the sideline of him sort of jumping up and down and shouting. I mean, that seems to be what he's like, even in a sort of thing that was edited to make him look great. Mm-hmm. He was like, you guys, is always like this. guys.
I came away
from that thinking, yes, you win a lot of things, and you're unbelievable. And footballers are so driven, you know, they're so motivated. How many years of your life can this realistically be before you're just going to go mad?
Oh yeah, and also, it's just like being at a music festival with a really intense guy, and Pep would be just endlessly dragging you to the dance tent. Mm. You come into the dance tent?
Yeah.
Nah, it's 4 a.m. I want to get my head down. Yeah. Come to the dance tent. Yeah, it's going to be amazing. Who's playing? I don't know. But just come.
Yeah.
And I think that I cannot agree with you more, Lars, because you cannot question the idea of the intensity of a man who semi-regularly sweats right through a jumper.
Yeah.
Normally, the jumper's there to cover the sweat patches. He goes through the jumper.
It's Lee Evans-esque.
It really is, and that is a great reference that you're probably going to have to explain.
He was in Something About Mary.
I used to wear a full suit on stage as a stand-up comic and sweat through the entire suit.
Oh, it was
suit.
Incredible. Yeah. It was absolutely stunning. Yeah. But yeah, I it will be interesting how he lines up.
Great
course.
Start to the weekend's games.
Completely. That is undeniable. And the tactical battle. Lars, we suspect we know what Tuchel will do. They'll be sort of, sort of fairly solid and just go, yeah, that's fine. Whatever you do, we'll be ready for you. Because as you say, whether it's one holding midfielder or whatever, and you get the feeling that Tuchel sort of thinks, a bit like Klopp, when Klopp just knew how to kind of go straight at Guardiola's Manchester City, like a hot knife through butter, bash him up like that for a bit, get a couple of goals, and then we are just really, really solid. Tuchel's plan, you think, would put them as favourites for this game, despite Man City being the English champions, of course.
Yeah, and I think what Tuchel would probably look to do is to try to make it difficult for Man City to get their passing game going, disrupt that source a little bit. I wonder if this could be a game for Timo Werner, just because that sort of pace is something that worries Man City a little bit. They do have a bit of a glass jaw with that sort of stuff.
You think Werner would start, do you?
I don't. Well, maybe not start, but certainly make some sort of appearance. Mm-hmm. Maybe go through one-on-one like three times and miss all of them. And, yeah. You know, that seems to be what happens.
Then set up the winner.
That's not a bold shout, is it? Yeah. It's almost certainly going to happen.
So you just said, I think Werner could make the difference, but he will miss three good chances.
Yeah, but that seems to be the way with him, isn't it?
Didn't say who made the difference for who.
Yeah, okay.
The big selection questions ahead of this game are surely whether Tuchel goes back to Mendy, who may not be fully fit, but he might have to risk him, because I don't know if he still wants to play Kepa in these big games. And then you've got, as we alluded to earlier, Guardiola and the Man City rushing back, not just Stones, but Laporte as well, which looks like if that doesn't happen, then Ake has to play. And that's a big ask. Ake is not as good as either of those players. It's a drop-off up against Lukaku, who is more than capable of occupying both centre-halves. That could be a difference-maker as well.
Certainly, gentlemen. The other side that are going for the title, Man United fans won't like it that I've described them as
Brentford.
The other side, Liverpool.
Oh, Brentford started brilliant.
They've started very, very well.
You're dissing the bees.
But yeah.
Get a sting.
Yeah. but then, of course, if they did sting me, then they'd have to sort of fly away and die.
Yeah,
that's true.
They're different to wasps.
Maybe that is a metaphor for their season. We don't know yet.
I haven't thought it through.
No.
I don't want to see the Brentford players dropping half their torsos.
Nah.
On the pitch.
Not that.
You know, it's a difficult injury to come back from.
Exactly, yeah.
I mean, given that they wouldn't show the Harvey Elliott thing, that would certainly have to cut away.
Yeah.
If they were all sort of...
Bee stings also attract other bees, so you probably can't rule out all the bench running on as well at that point.
Yeah. They do have Ivan Honey up front. Oh, no, that works better written down.
It does.
Written down.
It does.
It doesn't work very well written down either.
You just change one letter.
Yeah.
And that, Lars, is classic comedy. But Liverpool, of course, are away to Brentford. And Lars, you suggested earlier that people sort of forgotten about Liverpool, because I sort of agree with you on this.
So I completely accept that because of the way the sort of the military-industrial transfer drama complex works. We spend all of our summers talking about these sort of, ooh, will that player go there? Will that player go there? What's about it? So because of that, we kind of haven't spoken a lot about Liverpool over the summer.
Yep.
Because they kind of got their centre-half done early and they didn't do much else. And you have some sort of fans on the internet going completely mad and thinking their owners are bad because they're not signing. Anyway, we haven't been speaking about them a lot, but the reality is, I think they're very good.
Yep.
I think Jurgen Klopp's Liverpool, quite good at the football. That's
my big take.
And last season, bit of a disaster for them. But if you look at the numbers, as I'm prone to do, attacking-wise, they were fine. In terms of XG, they produced almost as much. They produced as much going forward last season as they did the season before when they got 99 points. Their attack was completely fine last year. It was just that they had no defenders. Like, they were all dead. And now that they have defenders who can walk, defenders with a pulse, I think they'll be very good again, even if they haven't signed anyone.
Yeah.
That's my big take here.
No, but I think you do make a good point, because it was almost as if last season, with their own lofty standards, it was almost like they not took it off, but it was just kind of like, okay, let's get our heads down, batten down the hatches, and let's get through. Because Klopp was saying, as I mentioned a number of times, if top four finish would do us this season. He was aware of the situation, and then we go again. And I think that actually all the focus is on Chelsea and Manchester City, a bit on Manchester United as well, with Ronaldo coming in, and I think that'll do Klopp and Liverpool down at the ground.
Because I think the psychology last season was, when we got to February, I think the number was they'd had 18 different centre-half pairings or something completely mad. And that was always the problem. But because of how this works, every time they have a setback, we're kind of looking for new explanations for why it's not working.
Well, yeah.
Whereas every week, it was really the same explanation. Like, none of our defenders, I mean, they're all injured. Like, what can we do? And so we just... When they're back and when they're firing again, they should be completely fine. And they've started the season really well. And I think...
Well, they've started the season, Lars, exactly the same as Chelsea in every conceivable way.
Same record,
same goals scored, same goals conceded, same last five results even. Yet the talk about Chelsea is completely different to the talk about Liverpool because they're different profiles of clubs. But I also think that you do have to factor in, although everything you said is true, you also have to factor in the idea that they won the league after such a long time. Many, many successful managers over the years have talked about how that internal relaxation happens, how it's such a big, in Liverpool's case, such a big monkey off their back that you would never give a team a pass for taking the next year off or anything like that. And I don't think they did do that, to be fair. They finished the season very strongly. But you can kind of understand it. Now, you're right, we are seeing a Liverpool that are clearly challenging already. They haven't lost a game yet. They've only dropped 2 points. I do think that we should talk a bit about Brentford as well, though, because I don't want them to be kind of overlooked.
Not in terms of the title, though.
No. But what is interesting is that so often in modern football in the Premier League now, you see the challenge that defences have to face are either a front three with two kind of wide forwards and a central striker, and a lot of the time they kind of mix it up, or you see one in front of a three, right? Mm. Well, Brentford, as we saw last time out for them, were tremendously successful playing two strikers, Tony and Mbeumo, who gave Wolves an absolutely torrid time. Now, it was only through a little bit of bad luck, really, that they didn't score loads more goals. I think there was one or two that were disallowed. They had an amazing period, 25 minutes, where they looked amazing. And so Liverpool are a better team than Wolves, we know that. But I think they might pose a few problems, particularly at home. Don't underestimate. I've seen this with the team I support, and it was a while ago now, but I still think the principle stands. When you are supporting a team that's waited so long to be in the top flight, and you have a game at home to a team like Liverpool, that's what it's all about.
Yep.
That stadium will be absolutely pumping. Mm. It's not a kind of replacement for brilliant players, but it does help you. We saw that against Arsenal on the first day. So it's an interesting game, this one. I'm pleased it's on TV, and I'm definitely going to be watching it. Great day of football tomorrow.
Ivan Toney looks like the most confident footballer in the world as well.
He's never found his ceiling, Marcus. Everywhere he's gone, he's been brilliant.
And that's a very interesting point, because I think with Toney, he is one of those strikers where you say, well, like, hang on, what can you do? And he's already started very, very well. I mean, I mentioned very briefly on Monday, but even just the way he took that penalty against Wolves, it shows you, obviously, if he misses, you go, we should have had a bit of run-up. But it was the sheer confidence and the thighs as well. The thighs.
You find great thighs in football these days.
You do.
They are very good.
They were particularly prominent, maybe it was the shorts or whatever.
I saw him describe Tony as a mobile target man, which I like.
Oh, that's good.
Because so often, we think of target man as these sort of big, slow people who can only sort of catch them. But I also think, I have this galaxy brain theory about football tactics, is that I think the target man will be coming back. Because with so many...
But tactics are cyclical.
It's a cyclical thing.
WM will be back soon.
It's a cyclical thing, and something's always a reaction to something else.
Totally.
And we're seeing more and more of that, like high pressing and like the sort of win the ball, hype the pitch and swarm people when they get possession. So if everyone's trying to win the ball high up the pitch, if everyone's trying to rush you when you have possession, just play over it. Like, if you can have someone who has a genuinely really good enough touch that you can whack it towards them and you can win
them. More than just a target man, for sure.
But what I'm saying, if you have that, that can be an incredibly useful weapon. I have a suspicion that the target man is coming back.
I'm all for it.
Well, exactly. You know, here we are in England and you're from Norway. Countries of the long ball.
This is obviously my Norwegian bias. Like, there's tall men from the mountain.
Get Tore Flo up
the
front.
Flo will be relevant again.
There's a lot of people.
Get Jostein out of retirement.
There's a lot of people in Southern Europe.
Paul Flo, where are you?
A lot of people in Southern Europe listen to this guy. What these guys know? They're talking about.
No, the long ball will come back.
I think so. That's my theory.
Can I go to a point just about confidence again with Tony? Yeah. Because I listened to Jamie Carragher and Ian Wright talking about this a while back, saying that. What was interesting for them was they both had similar regrets about England, and looking back on it, and they both agreed on this, they said it's weird because for them it was the first team in their lives that they hadn't dominated. Like Jamie Carragher was like, look, I came through, I was the best player in every school team, I became vice captain at Liverpool behind Steven Gerrard, and I was one of the main people there. I made 700 appearances. Ian Wright said I was the same. You know, I went through the I never found my ceiling. I was a ridiculous player at Sunday level. I went to Crystal Palace, scored loads of goals, went to Arsenal, became their record scorer, and they both hit England, and only then did they not dominate the team. They couldn't break through, and they'd never experienced that before. Ivan Toney's never experienced in his career a team that he has not been absolutely outstanding at. And I think that tells a lot about his confidence. And I wouldn't be surprised. And I said this before the season started. He's already got a couple of Premier League goals. I wouldn't be surprised at all if he finishes with double figures. And he's the latest in these English strikers that come through that are able to make that step up. Patrick Bamford's done it. Danny Ings has done it. Load of players.
Bamford had a few goes, to be fair.
He did, but he got there.
But he's doing it.
He got there.
Under the right manager and so on.
Yeah, he had a different path, obviously.
Sure.
But, so I think you'd be absolutely foolish to write off Brentford in this game.
But he's also got the right manager, obviously, with Thomas Frank, who said recently that he won't change the style regardless of the opposition. Now, that will be interesting when Liverpool come to town. He said,
I do worry about that a little bit.
Yeah, but he said, over time, it will give us more points.
Yeah,
so
well,
he's
that's
almost
true.
Conceding.
No, listen, so I like...
Over a period of 45 years, that will be beneficial for us.
But so I don't mind that, because I think if you have one way of playing and you work at that every week and you play that way in every game, suddenly you're playing a really good team. Okay, this week we're doing everything completely differently.
Yeah, it's stupid.
I'm not entirely sure that's the best way, but it is also true.
But we were critical of Daniel Farke for this. Not critical, but we were concerned about Norwich.
Yes. Yeah, no, I do understand that. But I think I do fair for them in this game, in the sense that if the big part of their plan is to push up and keep a high line, which they do quite a lot, mm-hmm. playing against the Salah and Mane is not what you want. It's not ideal.
Gentlemen, before we go to a quick break, a little plug for OTC this week. Former Liverpool forward Mario Balotelli is one of the subjects on this week's episode of On the Continent. Dalton and Andy
it's a great
joined.
Pod.
It is a great pod.
Thanks, Lars.
Dalton and Andy are joined by Miguel Delaney to look into Super Mario's recent form over in Turkey. That's where he is currently. Antoine Griezmann's struggles also are mentioned, and whether Mauricio Pochettino can keep his PSG squad together is also a point of conversation. Get involved on Football Ramble presents. Right, let's have a quick break.
One-800-Flowers.com is more than your birthday, anniversary, or just because gift-giving destination. We put our hearts into everything we do to help you celebrate all life's special occasions with friends and family. From our farmers and bakers, florists and makers, everything from 1-800-Flowers is made with love every step of the way, because we know that nothing is more important than delivering a smile. To learn more, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
This week, there's been loads going on across Stack. Over on the Luke and Pete Show, I'm telling Luke about why my hairstyle has been bothering children.
And she says, why have you got your hair like that?
Yeah.
Why have you got your hair in a ponytail? We've been told that we're not to talk to men who have ponytails.
Your parents. And
yeah, but that wasn't the parents. They didn't say that.
Right.
She'd just been told at school or something, never to trust a man with a ponytail.
Meanwhile, the book club is back with a cracker on Football Ramble Presents. Kate and Jim were joined by Simon Cooper to talk about his new book, delving into the heart of Barcelona Football Club and what its legends were really like.
Johan Cruyff, in my humble opinion, he's the kind of Freud or Marx or Einstein of football. He invented modern football, but he was also a lunatic. Cruyff was a guy who walks into a room and says, you're doing it all wrong, you should do what I say.
Listen to the Luke and Pete Show and Football Ramble Presents every week on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tarkowski stayed forward to head it back, headed out by White, headed back by Tarkowski. Like head tennis at the
head
minute.
Head tennis here, Daniel.
Oh, I love that. That little sting or stab was sent in by listener Matthew Jameson.
You don't hear that sort of Neil Lennon very often, do you?
You don't. Neil Lennon on comms from Arsenal versus Burnley recently. How about that? But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, welcome back to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. Right, let's have some emails.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. Show at footballramble.com is, of course, the email address, as you just heard there in melodic fashion. Matt
powerful.
Foster's. Yeah, very, it was.
Do you find that guests sort of bring the lighters out for the jingle?
Sometimes.
And then that becomes a health and safety problem.
Well, no, our listeners are very, very talented.
Yeah, I can tell.
Probably we're the only show where our listeners are more talented than the hosts. Which is amazing.
How dare you say
absolutely
that?
Absolutely not true. I know several other shows.
Well, let me provide
you. I can list shows for you where that is the case.
Let me provide you some evidence.
If you've got something for us, yeah.
Ooh! Ooh, indeed.
Matt Foster.
Right.
Matt Foster has been in touch. He says, following the bouncing off / going through a glass window chat from yesterday's pod. That was, of course, if you don't remember, Pete
oldie,
challenging Adebayo Akinfenwa to throw him through a window. Weirdly, Matt says, "I would like to share my multiple experiences of going through aforementioned glassware." I love the idea of Matt Foster thinking, "I really want to email but I've got nothing to talk about." What, smashing through windows? It's all about me.
Broken glass, that's me.
Yeah. As a child, clearly, I was naive to what glass looked like, says Matt, because I have three separate incidents of walking, tripping, falling.
See, as a child, there was a lot of things, but maybe not naive as to what glass looked like.
Apparently, he's fallen through large glass panels, and his parents. He says on my parents' property, which makes it sound very glamorous.
Yeah.
But I have so many questions here. Is he sort of walking around on top of glass panels all day?
Sounds like it.
This is eccentric behaviour, even for a child.
Well, allow him to pick up the story. He says, first was a glass house in the backyard playing rugby against my cousin.
I mean, how posh does that sound?
I ended up being tackled through it in some WWE-style takedown.
Okay.
Second was riding a skateboard inside the glass conservatory.
Oh, my God.
That's asking for trouble.
Yep. Yeah.
Inevitably, the momentum took me straight through, he says.
Yeah.
And third and final incident, from memory, so there could be more, was again in the conservatory where I literally just wasn't looking ahead and went straight into the closed glass sliding door. Mm-hmm. This case was a bounce off the glass, but as I bounced off the glass smashed.
Yeah.
All in all, the bounce off was far more comfortable as an outcome, all things considered. So if for some reason Adebayo Akinfenwa was to throw me into a window, I would agree with Vish in choosing the bounce option. Great to have that cleared up.
It is, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of smashing glass.
Yeah.
Last week, of course, you know, Kevin Keegan in the in the smashing wine bottles.
I think there might be a bit more on Kevin Keegan in a minute.
You're joking.
Yeah, no, I'm not joking. What would I joke about something so serious?
Make my Friday.
Take it away, Lars.
Yeah, because we got an email from Pasha Saberi, who says, "Hello, gang." I'm sure in that tone of voice as well. "Hello, gang. Here's another Kevin Keegan story for all of you." Especially Marcus. A few years ago, a listener emailed in about a story on Kevin Keegan receiving a black eye from Tommy Smith after Liverpool's European Cup final triumph over Borussia Mönchengladbach. Reading an excerpt from Liverpool midfielder Jimmy Case's biography, the true story is even better and even more Keegan-y. Kevin Keegan came home from Rome wearing a big pair of sunglasses, covering up a black eye. The story was that I had had a go at him for not trying his best in the FA Cup final a few days earlier because he was saving himself for the big European game. I had nothing to do with his black eye. The truth is, it was an accident.
Obviously.
The morning after the European Cup final, some of the press lads were milling around the hotel pool, as we do. We didn't always get on with the press, especially the London boys, because they only ever came to see us get beat.
A typical Liverpool opinion.
Yeah. Anyway, some of the lads grabbed hold of one of them. It might have been Jeff Powell or Steve Curry. I can't really remember. And they decided to throw him in the swimming pool. And as it was kicking off, Phil Neal's elbow came up and caught Kevin Keegan in the eye.
He wasn't even in the pool.
It was as simple as that.
How's that happened?
Poor Keggy.
He wasn't even staying in the same hotel. Just walking past.
Poor Keggy. Poor Keggy. Imagine basking in Rome by the pool, post-European Cup glory, only for your teammates to get into it with the press and you, the innocent Kevin Keegan, getting an elbow in the eye for just existing. Oh, Kevin.
Oh, Kevin.
A very good email. Thank you for that.
I've not done all of it twice.
Yeah, that's a classic quote. Nice.
Oh, dear. Good. Get them in.
Yeah.
Get them in. Showatfootballramble.com.
And I'm not alone here, I don't think, when I say that I thought that it would be an inexhaustible supply of Kevin Keegan stories.
You'd think so, wouldn't you?
On the other hand, we've been doing this for 15 years. They're still coming. They are still coming
Damn
in.
Damn right they are, baby. Damn right. I did tell you the time when I met Kevin Keegan, didn't I? When I did a gig with him.
Mm.
And I walked into the sort of makeshift green room, if you like. And Keegan was holding foot around a table. And I promise you, I've said this before, but I'll say it again, damn it all. I walked in and he was right
holding
in that
court.
Moment
yeah.
recounting a story about when his car got broken.
Did Did you do like Grandpa Simpson, just walk straight round again?
Yeah, honestly, mate, I don't know how I managed
your hat,
to
put it back on water again.
I walked in and I was just like, this is happening right in front of me.
Yeah.
This is Keegan. I was about to say life imitating art, but it's not, is it? I don't know what it is.
But this is why he's such a versatile performer. I mean, I saw recently that he was hosting the 2021 Meat Industry Awards ceremony.
Oh, we did a lot
of
that.
Which you thought was maybe not his thing, but imagine his meat anecdotes. I'm sure they were amazing.
Yeah. We still waiting for people to come back to us on that. We had people buying us tickets for it. Yeah. We had people insisting we would
really?
Go.
A whole lot.
Oh, yeah, all sorts. I think Pete was very close to going. I think it was in Birmingham.
We would love it if we meet him. Yeah,
all that. I've gone to weirder things for dumber reasons, for sure. So, I mean, definitely.
But you can't talk about them, obviously, for legal reasons.
No.
But gentlemen, we thank you. We thank them, the listeners, for your emails, of course. And now we move on to Arsenal versus Tottenham Hotspur, which is happening on Sunday afternoon. Mikel Arteta said after their Carabao Cup win over Wimbledon in the week, to have 50,000 fans in the Carabao Cup on a Wednesday night is pretty special and doesn't happen in many places. Is that a dig at Pep Guardiola and Man City?
It's a subtweet.
Do you reckon that is a dig at Pep?
Probably not. Maybe.
I don't
actually think so.
No, it's not. It's not
genuinely thankful.
But there's a chat at the moment about fans and attendances and so on, and I think he's just acknowledging that Arsenal fans came out in numbers, and he was appreciative of that.
Yeah, I think there is probably still. And actually, speaking of that, I believe that this will be the first North London derby that Arteta would have managed with fans. I think.
Ooh.
So that add a little bit of spice to it as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, he's definitely got a kind of interesting experience ahead of him, I suppose. This is an interesting game because both these teams are kind of, one of them isn't coming out fully of being shit, and then one of them looks like they might just about to become quite shit.
I know what you mean.
This could be a real passing of the shit baton.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Not
a baton covered in shit.
Yes, exactly. I understood.
You're not going to get that from the build-up on Sky.
No.
This is the passing of the shit this afternoon.
Lars, is this underwhelming is not the right word, but it's a strange North
sure
London.
Sure, it is.
Well, okay. Is this the most underwhelming North London?
I mean,
derby?
I think they've had quite similar starts to the season, though, haven't they?
Yeah.
Because they both had a couple of games they've won without playing that well. They've had a couple of games they've lost against really strong opponents. And then they've had one game each where they were just atrocious. So, I mean, there's a bit of that. Of course, I'm kind of glossing over Tottenham beating Man City here, but you know what I'm saying? There are similarities.
That was a weird old game, though, on the first day of the
very
season.
Very odd one.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like this is a bigger picture, sort of the derby of woe, because I'm slightly worried about both these clubs in terms of how we've had like the big six over the last few years. But both of these now, I think there's a real risk that they could be left behind a little bit. Because if you look at the other, this season going into it, I don't think we really had a big six anymore. These were very clear which four everyone thought would finish in the top four. I think there are four teams who look significantly stronger than these two. And financially, you know, Man United is this global marketing machine that's always going to generate a ton of cash. You know, Man City obviously have money. Mm. Chelsea, as long as Mr. Abramovich is keen, can have as much money as they want, really, as well. And Liverpool, very smartly run, big global appeal there as well. You do worry that if they don't get their act together quite soon and don't get into that sort of sweet, sweet Champions League cash flow money, both of these could, you know, you end up in a slightly negative spiral because you can't afford to sign the best players anymore, and that means you can't get back into the Champions League, and it all becomes a bit weird. So I feel like, big picture, I think both of these clubs are in a slightly precarious state this season.
Yeah. I think that's absolutely spot on, and I think that, you know, if you look at how Spurs and Arsenal are run, that's going to be the case, based on your comparisons there, Lars, because Arsenal are run by an owner who doesn't give a shit, and Spurs are run in a certain way that, you know, the way, you know, yeah, in a weird sort of way, the way they've been run before. Because you would argue that Spurs missed out on that big first gold rush of the Premier League because of their ownership model back in the 90s.
Mm.
Now they run in a very sustainable way. And, you know, we can have our own opinions on whether that's, you know, acceptable or not, or whether that's fair. But ultimately, that's the position both teams find themselves in. And I think, I argue, but it's already happened. I mean, there's no real prospect, I don't think, of Spurs under Nuno or Arsenal under Arteta with the ownership models they've both got competing. I just don't think it's going to happen. Doesn't mean it's not a good game. Doesn't mean it's not an interesting game to watch. Doesn't mean it might be fiery. I think the interesting angle for this game, particularly for me, when I'm looking at it on a Sunday, is that you've got a lot of new players coming in who won't have experienced this type of game before. Of course, they would have experienced derbies elsewhere. You know, Royale may play, Romero may play, Ben White will probably play. This is an interesting experience. Tommy Asser will probably play. This is an experience for them, you know. Aaron Ramsdale's another one. So these kind of games are where, more than any other type of game for a team, teams like this, where reputations are either destroyed or burnished. So it'll be a fascinating encounter for that reason, I think. I do think that Spurs, I've heard a lot of murmurings and mutterings about Spurs under Nuno and whether people are happy about it or not, or whether it's actually going to be a success. We know what's happening at Arsenal. This will go a long way, this game, to telling us which team is going to be on a better trajectory, I think.
And it'll be a huge boost, obviously, because if they're both slightly on their hind legs, to get a derby win like that, you know, is absolutely enormous.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm predicting goals. I think that this one, because of the reasons just stated, that this could go slightly under the radar in terms of people thinking, it's not as not competitive. It's not as important as it was. I think this will provide goals. Dare I say another 5-4? Go on, I'll predict nine goals.
So I'm intrigued by what kind of Tottenham will turn up, because obviously we've already seen tendency in some of the games that, I mean, the very quick and easy conclusion you can draw is that Nuno is trying to turn them into Wolves, but with better forwards, which is not maybe what Tottenham fans want them to be. I think that's fair to say. But then against Chelsea, they came out swinging. Like, they ran a lot and pushed them high. And I think maybe too much was made out of that first half. I mean, they didn't actually create that many chances. But just watching it, I thought, well then, at least here we have a Tottenham team who are really running at the opponent and like really sort of pushing them and trying to make something of it, which I thought was good to see. Then it kind of fell apart a bit in the second half. But I thought that was a step in the right direction in terms of what I think this team should be anyway.
But are you not kind of concerned, Lars, though, if you look at that, as soon as they conceded against Chelsea, they just felt
That was very concerning.
But they also got absolutely battered by Crystal Palace. Battered by them.
The Palace game was one of the worst in recent memory. I mean, that was completely atrocious. Now, they were missing a few people, but even bearing that in mind, I think with Chelsea again, you can see a goal from a set piece and then an N'Golo Kante shot from miles out that changes direction. It's kind of like,
okay. You've got to deal with that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, you're right. But I'm curious to see whether they will grab this by the scruff of the proverbial, or if they'll be doing the sort of the Nuno Wolves tribute band thing again. That is something that's really interesting to me.
Yeah.
I like it when big, illustrious teams on the pitch fall on hard times.
Yeah,
I like to watch it. I like watching a big derby game and I see a team getting absolutely battered. It's entertaining.
Mm.
I don't care which one of them it is. Mm. I just want it to be one of them.
Yeah, but you have to choose one for this game.
But it's also a game where
it's really important to me to
Arsenal,
know that
because of Jim.
it's also a game where I think with both teams you can make an argument that we haven't seen what they're meant to look like yet. Because it's been a slightly sort of disrupted start to the season with for Spurs, with first the whole Kane debacle being a distraction, then the sort of the South American lads going off on the international thing and that being a little causing some chaos, and we haven't really seen the Nuno team yet, I think you could argue. I'm sure he would argue. And as with Arsenal, of course, they signed quite a few players in the summer who some haven't been available. They've had some COVID. You know, there's all sorts of reasons why we haven't really seen the true Arsenal yet. Mm. So it's interesting. Every game with these teams right now, they both started really dreadfully in terms of performance anyway, even though they have picked up some points. But we haven't seen what the teams are meant to look like yet, which I guess makes it interesting.
Well, this is a great chance for them to show that, Lars.
Well, it's a great chance for Kane as well to show that he still wants to play football for the Tottenham club.
Because
I hear a lot about how professional he is, and I think it's a good time to see some of that on the pitch now.
Yeah, a bit more professionalism from you, Harry.
Big part of being a professional is doing your job.
Well, you'd think so. We've had this now this summer. It was like he's desperate to leave the club he's under contract with. Boy, he's very professional.
You can't say he's a great professional.
He's not turned up for training. Boy, he is so professional. So you
get a new host on the Ramble, they do a really bad job. Yeah, but he's a great pro.
Yeah.
That's not important, really, is it?
No.
Not as important.
Not usually, no. He's a good football man, though.
Exactly.
Speaking of good football men, Lars, before we go on to Four to Score, I really want to hear your update. Your update. It's a Morten Gams Pedersen update, for those who remember the mercurial Blackburn Rovers player.
Yeah.
And you've got
the Gams Pedersen alcove.
Yes.
What should we put him in?
You have news of him.
He can have a corner, obviously.
Glacier, probably.
Yeah, the Gams Pedersen fjord.
He's in
the fjord there.
Yeah. Because he's literally up there, isn't he? Right up there.
Literally up there. So he's still playing. He's at the age of 40. He is still playing. Now he's dropped down the leagues a little bit, though he says he had offers from the top division in Norway and could have stayed higher up the leagues over the winter. But he signed up for Alta, who play in the third tier, Really way the hell up north. It's like 400 miles over the Arctic Circle or something. It's really, really, really
far
away.
Is it the northernmost town in Norway?
It's one of them. Okay. If you put a gun to my head, I forget which of these places are actually cities and which are... It's very far north.
Okay.
Put your guns down.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'll be shunned by my own people for not being fully confident on the geography here. Uh-huh. But Alta is tremendously far away. And there was a great little piece on a website called Football Mob this week where they'd gone to see him play away to Florø, which is further down south. And this is, again, Norway, big country. They have to get on two flights to get to an away game, which for the third tier in Norway, it's not like it's quite. And they turned up, and the away kit hadn't made it; it had gotten lost in the luggage. So they had to play in the home team's away kit. A bit unfortunate.
But you wish he talked to those top league teams then.
But Gamster's still doing his thing. He's playing now in a sort of deep lying midfield quarterback position, just pinning the ball around. He scored several goals this season, and this is my favorite thing: he scored three goals directly from corners season.
Great standard.
He's just shooting
now.
He's
whacking them in.
Why wouldn't you? First one's an accident, and he thinks,
Will the keeper learn from this?
The third one he definitely meant.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
Or it's a very windy day.
Indeed. Yeah.
Did you say it was Foot Mob who covered that?
Yes.
That's Kurt Baker's guys.
Yeah. Good.
Kurt Baker.
Good website. Good app.
That's a deep cut. One for the heads, that.
Yeah.
Kurt Baker, great lad. Anyway. Betway's four to score. It's time for that. It's absolutely free, of course. Every week, all you need to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's four selected matches for your chance to win the weekly £50,000. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and further T's and C's apply. Game number one is Brentford v Liverpool. Marcus, you always go first. You're first again. Who are you going for?
I've got to go for Mo Salah. Mo's not going to let me down. He's not going to let us down.
I think it's a safe pick.
Yeah.
I think it's a safe pick. Next up, game number two, Southampton v Wolves, Sunday 2 o'clock. It's Andy's pick. Let's see what he's gone for.
Hello, Ramblers. Andy here, and I've got the 4-to-score pick for Southampton versus Wolves on Sunday. I know Southampton are coming back into better nick at the moment, and Wolves haven't had an amazing week, particularly at the last Premier League game with a defeat against Brentford. But Bruno Lage has been waiting to coach Raul Jimenez for a long time. Raul is due a goal. It's all going to click at St Mary's. It's going to happen for them. First goal scorer in Southampton versus Wolves is going to be Raul Jimenez.
I keep telling him he's not paid by the second. He does not listen. He gets paid the same. Raul Jimenez for Andy. Game number three is the North London Derby. We thought we'd give it to Jim because of the obvious reasons. Let's hear what he had to say.
All right, Arsenal's Jim Campbell here. I have been tasked with picking the first scorer in the North London Derby on Sunday. I can't recall a North London derby I've been less kind of certain about. So I'm going to go with my heart and I'm going to say that the first scorer will be Bukayo Saka. So that is Bukayo Saka to score first in the North London derby on Sunday.
So Bukayo Saka for Jim. Mm. Heart on his sleeve. We love to see it. Game number four is me. Obviously, I do the final game usually because it's normally all over by then. and it's Jules' favourite, the one Jules is looking forward to, Crystal Palace v Brighton, a South Coast derby, kind of.
It's not a South Coast derby.
What would you call it?
It's a weird derby.
A weird derby. It's the weird derby. And I've gone for Neil Maupay for that one. So in summary, Mo Salah, Raul Jimenez, Bukayo Saka, Neil Maupay are our picks. If you want to play along, make sure your selections are submitted before the first game and you can play at betway.com/4 to score. Further T's and C's apply. 18 plus, gamble responsibly. And for more information on that, head to begambleaware.org. All right, it's the moment you've all been waiting for. Oh. Lars, get some fire in your belly. Get your head in the freezer because it's time for this. It's the algorithm. What do you want me to do?
This is why I'm fucked.
Lars, we can't wait to add your voice to that jingle.
Oh, my God.
So, you're unseeded. We have a very dear listener who gives us all these updates and the update spreadsheets for us every week. He didn't know you were going to be playing
That's
today.
That's fine.
But you are going to be unseeded by definition because you've not played. So you
I
get
like
to
being
go
the outsider.
Well, you get to go first.
Oh.
So, it's five. Okay. There's five players. It can be a great advantage to go first.
Okay.
Marcus is the very definition of a seasoned campaigner here. He's seen things that will bend your bones in this game. So you're up against a good bit of experience.
I feel that just for the benefit of the listener, I've closed my laptop.
You should
can only be described as a power move.
No, you have to. I was about to insist on it. So
that's
good
fair.
For you.
But I think Lars, being a seasoned journalist for a while now, he should be in good stead.
Put a lot of pressure on myself with these things. I once swore on TalkSport during a quiz like this because I'd get too excited.
Well, what letter did the swear word begin with?
S.
Okay.
It's not one of the worst ones, but they did have to push the dump button.
That's okay. Yeah. You can swear on here if you want. So you're up first. You know how the game works. We've talked it through beforehand. Yeah. However you deal with the pressure is up to you, but the rules are the rules. The first player has played for 6 clubs in total.
Okay.
He's still playing now.
Whoa.
Okay, which is a nice easy start for you. It's Leonardo Bonucci. So we'll need a number from you as a bid.
No, that's not good. This is very bad, because there's one of those I should know and I don't.
Oh, that's how it gets you.
This is going to be terrible.
As everyone knows, a quick game is a good game, so a number from you would be good. It's not just in the knowledge, it's in the tactics as well.
Mm.
What do you think?
So I'm going 2, because I'm banking on Marcus to not know.
You're going 2?
Yeah.
Your bid's 2. Marcus, do I have 3 from you?
You wanker.
Was that the sweet spot, 2?
Yeah, I'll have to go 3.
Do I have 4 from you, Lars?
No, I'm going 2.
Okay,
I could go 3, but I'm not confident.
Yeah. Well, you can't go 3 because he's gone 3
so
now.
So I'm playing the opponent. Well, definitely not going 4.
We're all in the same boat here.
Yeah. Okay, so one at a time.
No, but it's more embarrassing for me because I should know this.
Yeah. One at a time. 3 clubs that Leonardo Bonucci's played for, Marcus. If you get one wrong, obviously, the point goes to Lars.
Juventus.
He's there now.
AC Milan.
He's played for them too.
So I assume they were the 2 you had.
Yeah.
Now I'm buggered. I just who did he play for? Come on. Who did he play for? Let's just have a big old guess. And I will say, who did he play? Parma.
That's a point to Lars.
So
Leonardo Bonucci.
So a game the system sometimes.
Played for Inter.
Shit.
Played for Treviso, who are amateur now but weren't then.
How many games for Inter?
Just the 1.
Ah.
Yeah. Pisa, Bari, Juve and Milan.
Okay.
The completest among the listeners would like me to mention that he started his career at Viterbese but didn't play for them.
Okay.
And he signed for Genoa but never played.
It's a stain on my record that I didn't know that. I had a feeling about Bari, but I wasn't sure.
But you got the point.
But I played the system. I was pretty confident that you only knew 2.
You can win this game by not knowing anything.
Yeah.
If you get your tactics right.
Yeah.
I expect that from something called Luke's game.
But Pete's not here to defend himself, so he won't go for that. Right. Marcus, you're up first this time.
Yeah.
7 clubs, a little bit closer to home. Mm. Actually, probably, I mean, the algorithm chooses the player, so it's not on me. A bit more in your wheelhouse, I would say.
Okay.
7 clubs in total. One of your favourite players, actually, Alan Hutton.
Oh, blimey. Hutsy.
Alan Hutton.
Oh, Alan
How many
Hutton.
Can you name?
Alan Hutton. Alan Hutton.
7 there are. How many can you name?
That is quite a lot, isn't it?
Going to push you for a number now. Number
5.
5?
Oh, what?
Well,
you've said 5.
Yeah.
If you go back on that,
I'm going big because Lars had a look in his eye.
So I want 6 from you or nothing, Lars?
Nothing.
Okay. It's on you definitely again, Marcus.
Definitely don't have 6.
5 players. 5 players. 5 teams that player Alan Hutton has played for of the 7 that he played for in his career, retired in 2014. And the game's never been the same since.
What
go
have
ahead.
I done?
Maybe my light bulb moment threw you off completely, Eric.
Go on. Aston Villa.
That's correct.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Yes.
Rangers.
Yes, good.
Sunderland?
The Sunderland clause has been invoked.
Yeah.
Is it correct? It is. One more.
Oh, that's worrying.
Come on.
Can I just say, I'm absolutely astonished you went for 5. There was just no need.
No.
Dundee United.
You're 2 down with 3 to play.
Yes. Who is it in Scotland?
So Rangers, Spurs, Sunderland, Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest you could have had.
Uh-huh.
You could have had Real Mallorca.
Yes, that's the one I had. That's when I went, yes.
And the end of his career at Bolton Wanderers, mate.
Why did I think Dundee United? I'm getting hammered here.
This is 2-0 to Lars. What a debut. Okay, Lars.
Just not doing anything.
Yeah, but...
It's very exciting.
Yeah. Here's a chance for you to do something. And this is a big... This could be a big clincher. 5 clubs in total. He's still playing. Okay. I think Marcus is going to have to pull out a worldie here.
Oh,
but
no.
We'd all love to see it. 5 clubs in total. He's still playing. Luka Modric.
Okay.
5.
Yeah.
How many can you bid?
That's very interesting.
That's really annoying.
Why? Well, listen, let's see how many Lars can name. He wasn't great on Bonucci. The 2 points you've lost here have been on you. So let's see what
I'm
Lars
going
does.
First.
Yeah, you are. So tell me a number, please, now.
Okay. I'm going to be ungentlemanly and go 3.
Tosser. He's done it, isn't he? that's frustrating.
Which means you can lose by default.
But do you think he's definitely got 3?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah. Oh, obviously, Jesus.
Gamesmanship.
Yeah.
No, honestly, again, it's one of those where I should remember at least one of the extras, but I don't.
It's annoying because I'm now thinking, no, that's Ivan Rakitic I'm getting mixed
this
up
will
with.
Be a this will be the greatest comeback since Alan Boxic.
Yeah, but I haven't.
If you did this.
No, but that wasn't a comeback, though.
The greatest moment since Alan Boxic.
Yeah, I'll have to go 4.
Okay. Mm. Do you want 5?
No.
Could be a twist.
That would be something.
Go 5.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
4, Marcus, please. Yeah. But you're going out on your own terms.
Yeah.
I think people like to hear that.
This is disappointing.
People like to hear you going out on your own terms. You're a big fan favourite. Yeah, Marcus Mount's out there. They're full of people. You know, this is a big moment for you, but you're doing it on your own terms.
All right, then.
There will be the inevitable questions afterwards. Has he lost it? Has he gone? Can he still do it at the highest level? But let's have 4. One at a time. Luka Modric.
Real Madrid.
Ooh. That's correct.
Tottenham Hotspur.
Of course.
Now, Croatia Zagreb? It's not right.
I haven't got a button. But let's
there's
just
no
say,
button for that.
Let's just say... Lars wins!
I knew he would.
Who was the clubs then?
Dinamo Zagreb.
Dinamo Zagreb.
What I couldn't remember was the clubs he went on loan to when he was at Zagreb.
Indeed, so...
At least one of them's in like the Bosnian League and he was sent there to toughen him up, but
so,
I forget the name.
You weren't realistically, neither of you were going to get those, which is why it was so disappointing. Zrinjski Mostar, I've never heard of them, Inter Zaprasic. You're not going to get them. Yeah. So it's 3-0 to Lars.
Look,
the Mostar one, I knew it happened, but I've forgotten the club name.
We need to play through. Completist will demand it.
I think so.
You're first, Marcus.
I should probably have to name a club at some point.
You should. That would be good.
Maybe that should be a clause. Like, if you've not played, then...
I apologise, everyone. It's been a bit of a disappointing game.
I think I put him off with my superb gamesmanship.
Let's get through it. 6 clubs.
Go on, then.
Still playing. James Milner. How many would you bid for that? I mean, if you got James Milner 3rd, that would have been ideal.
Milner, eh?
Probably do all 6, can you?
Could I do all 6? Could I do all 6 for James Milner?
Let's go. The game's over, so let's get it done.
All
give
right.
me a number. Do all 6.
I'll do all 6.
They've come out to
I'll
watch
I'll do all 6.
Okay, that means you've got nowhere to move.
No bid.
Well, you can't. You've got nowhere to move. It's doing it for the fans now, Lars.
Yeah.
You've got your win. You enjoy that.
Yeah.
All 6, James Milner.
Struggling now. Leeds United.
Yeah, that's correct.
Aston Villa.
Yeah.
Newcastle United.
Yeah.
Manchester City.
Yeah.
Liverpool.
Yeah. So you got one more to go.
I do have one more to go. And that club is... Of course. Oh, James, who was it? Who was it?
Gonna have to push you. I'm gonna give it up to points to Lars. I have to. I don't like doing it. Don't enjoy it. He's already won. A
clean sweep without saying anything. This is my kind of game.
Oh no, hang on. It was. It was.
Come on.
I got nothing.
Okay, well, I'm gonna have to hit the button. Just give me a club.
Sunderland. I know it's not Sunderland.
Who was it?
Hey, I know, yeah.
Swindon Town on loan.
Woo!
Swindon Town
Why
on loan.
Why did you say it? You could do all 6.
I want to give you your confidence back.
Well, that's overconfidence is your weakness.
Don't blame me. Swindon Town on loan. Absolute stitch up.
Don't blame me.
Oh, my God.
Right, Lars, last up.
I am excited.
We're
doing one more.
Yeah, we've got this. There's always 5.
Always
you're
5.
First. 5 clubs in total. He's also still playing now.
All right, then.
It is Charlie Austin.
No.
Let's have it.
Oh, I'm just bidding 3. There's an opening here.
All right, 4.
Do you want 5?
No.
He's not going to name a single fucking club.
I'm going to go out. He's going to whitewash me and I'm going to swing.
Yeah, you've done everything. You were like a boxer.
Listen,
who just
you
come
play the man,
you.
Not the cards.
Yeah.
Can I get a consolation?
4 clubs that Charlie Austin played for of the 5 that he's played for.
Okay, QPR.
He's there now.
Southampton.
Yes.
Brentford? No, I said... Meant to say Burnley, not Brentford.
It's 5-0 to Lars, I'm afraid.
Oh, yes.
Can't I say no? I meant Burnley.
You said Brentford.
No, but I quickly said, sorry, Burnley.
It doesn't matter. Fine. Swindon Town, Burnley, QPR, Southampton, West Brom. There you're five. Lars, it's been an incredible debut in every sense.
What a win.
It's going to take
psychological warfare, my friend.
It's going to take Marcus a while to recover from this, but I think, and I know our listeners think as well, that he will. He absolutely will. And he's going to have a chance to very soon.
The overconfidence is what got you into this problem, but it's also what will get you out of it.
When you say overconfidence, it was more...
The Nicholas Bentner of Luke's game.
No, it was more...
Oh, Diggs! Don't hand it! It's your show! Don't have this!
No, it was more the fact that you played it very well. Benucci and Modric, what could I have done there?
Yeah, nothing.
Definitely.
Exactly. He got me in a headlock and I was just like, yeah.
I hope the Luke's Game community rallies around you.
I do.
And I think they will.
It's
an incredible game.
Yeah.
God bless.
More people should play it.
Well played.
In parties, just on the train.
The whole shooting match. Yeah. Well, there we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betway. It's been an absolute pleasure having you, Lars Siversen, with us.
Yeah,
it's been great fun. I mean, I am sad that my suggestion of reviving Steve McLaren Time Lord was not that's not something that was done, but apart from that it was a great thing to be on.
Probably have to sit on Football Round Presents these days.
My goodness.
You never know. But listen, I've never known a man to have such fire on his belly, but his head firmly in the freezer on a debut. So fair enough.
Thank you very much.
What a win. There we are, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for listening to, as I say, the Football Round Preview Show sponsored by Betway. Thank you, Luke Moore.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lars Siversen.
Thank you.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We'll see you soon.
What's the swearing policy on this, by the way?
Do what you want.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. And then we're way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.